notes. Using that editor on one of the organization's machines causes the virus to spread from the editor to one of the programs stored on the organization's machine, perhaps to a spreadsheet program. When an employee uses that spreadsheet subsequently, the virus can be spread to another program, perhaps to a directory listing program that the employee keeps on the same floppy disk as the spreadsheet data files. The listing program is then infected, and the infection can be spread to other computers to which this floppy disk is taken. If the employee's computer is connected to the organization's network, the employee may send the listing program to another user over the network. In either case, the virus can spread to more users and more machines via floppy disks or networks. Each copy of the virus can make multiple copies of itself and can infect any program to which it has access. As a result, the virus may be able to spread throughout the organization in a relatively short time. Each of the infected programs in each of the infected machines can execute whatever other instructions the virus author intended. If these instructions are harmful or disruptive, the pervasiveness of the virus may cause widespread harm. Traditional security measures have attempted to limit the number of security incidents to an acceptable level. A single incident of lost files in a year may be an acceptable loss, for instance. While this is important, it only addresses able to spread throughout an organization. That damage that it could cause may be much greater than what could be caused by any individual computer user. Limiting the number of initial vital infections of an organization is important, but it is often not feasible to prevent them entirely. As a result, it is important to be able to deal with them when they occur, and to take actions to erase